And they all know her, and it's like a big family.
No.
He's all that. He's the all the facilities.
I call the Carson Area Metropolitan Planning Organization meeting of July 13th to order. Please note that the Carson Area Metropolitan Planning Organization is pleased to make reasonable accommodations to members of the public who are disabled and wish to attend the meeting. If special arrangements for the meeting are necessary, please notify the Carson Area Metropolitan Planning Organization staff at their office on Buddeye Way or give them a call at 887-2355. For more information regarding any of the items listed on an agenda, please contact the Metropolitan Planning Organization staff. Additionally, the agenda with all supporting material is posted on the Carson Area Metropolitan Area Planning Organization website at carsonareampo.com. Kathy, call the roll.
Chairperson Esswein?
Here.
Vice Chairperson Desjardins?
Here.
Member Aldean?
Here.
Member Carpenter?
Here.
Member Kroll?
Here.
Member Foltz? Member Mallory?
Here.
Ex officio Member Taylor?
Here.
Quorum is present.
Thank you. Item B on the agenda, public comment. Members of the public who wish to address the Metropolitan Planning Organization may approach the podium and speak on matters related to the MPO. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per person. If your item requires extended discussion, please request the chair to calendar the matter for a future Metropolitan Planning Organization meeting. No action may be taken upon a matter raised upon, under this item of the agenda until the matter itself has been specifically included on an agenda as an item upon which action may be taken. Is there any public comment? I'll just note at the beginning here, we will have another period of public comment at the end to comply with revisions to the open meeting law. Item C, approval of the minutes. We have the minutes for the June 8th meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the minutes from the Carson City Metropolitan Planning Organization meeting of June 8th, 2011 as presented.
Okay.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any comment? Hearing none, take a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous. Item D, agenda management notice. Items on the agenda may be taken out of order. CAMPO may continue two or more agenda items for consideration, and CAMPO may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussion relating to an item on the agenda at any time. We have nothing to remove.
Yeah, we only have one item, so I think we're pretty well set.
Okay. Disclosures. Any member of the Metropolitan Planning Organization that may wish to explain any contact with the public regarding an item on the agenda or business of the Metropolitan Planning Organization. Dennis?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Even though I'm ex officio non-voting on this board, as you know, the next item, F1, possible action to endorse CAMPO portion of NDOT's draft 2012-21 work program documented. It is my division at NDOT that puts this together, and I have had extensive contact with the public in putting this together. So I just wanted to disclose that for everyone. Thank you.
We'll take a brief
recess.
Recess. Okay, public meeting items. Item F1 for possible action. Action to endorse the CAMPO portion of the Nevada Department of Transportation draft FY 2012-2021 work program document. I believe we'll have a presentation by Scott Rollins, Deputy Director. Mr. Rollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Commissioner Scott Rollins, Deputy Director for Nevada DOT. Pleasure to be here.
As part of our county consultations, you've heard us here before, you've seen us. You have a commission member on your team that puts it together, so I think we're well coordinated on that. Before I get started, I'd like to introduce some very important people to us that are in the audience. Our district staff, mainly, that serve you guys on a day-to-day basis. Thor Dyson, our district engineer. Dave Titzel, our assistant district engineer. And Steve Williams, who's our maintenance manager. These guys are part of the community, take their jobs very seriously, very proud of the work that they do, and hopefully that you are too, and how they conduct themselves. So I would like to give them a round of applause for the work that they do. Also, from our headquarters staff, of course, Dennis Taylor is the head of our Transportation Multimodal Planning Division, but we also have Jennifer Cooper, within Dennis's, and Heather Manzo, also within the multimodal planning division. And then some special guests with us today from the Federal Highway Administration. I'd like to just introduce them also, if I get real quick. Becky Bennett, who's the right-of-way supervisor for the division office, and Emiliano Lopez, who's the head of field operations for the Federal Highway Administration. We do close coordination with these folks in meeting the federal guidelines and requirements. So I want to thank them for their cooperation also. So with that, I figured I would keep it brief. Since you guys know this process, you live it and breathe it, you understand the things that we do. But I do want to emphasize that we want to hear from you, and that's what these county consultations are all about, is hearing what your concerns and issues are so that we make sure that we're meeting your needs and your constituents' needs. As an agency, you've heard this before, but it's very important to us. We have core values that we operate our business practices under. That's integrity, honesty, respect, commitment, and accountability. And we preach that to our staff, and we hopefully you see that from the outside looking in on how we do our business functions. We do have 15 performance measures that we track, a number of things in our core business practice. A couple of those that you'd be interested in mainly would be our customer service. We're looking at streamlining our permitting process so that we don't have to deal with a lot of paperwork. We can get you in and out of there and on to building great things for the public more expeditiously, and also our customer service and outreach efforts. So we track those and monitor those continuously so that we can improve upon what we do on a day-to-day basis. Some of the successes, you've heard us talk about our statewide strategic highway safety plan. We have seen those fatalities in the state reduce over the last, since 2006, tremendously. We have a new program with that called our Zero Fatalities Program. We've got a flyer here. I think we might. Do we have copies of this? We will get you copies of our Zero Fatalities Program. We started doing some marketing, working with the Nevada Broadcasters Association on getting the word out of what Zero Fatalities means. And we did some interviews of people just on the street at the UNR campus, at shopping malls. We asked them, you know, fatalities are roughly this number and they're trending down. What do you think a good goal for our department on a statewide basis would be for reducing fatalities? And a number of them said reduce it by half over the next several years. A couple said 10. And then we reversed the question and said, well, how many out of your family and friends would be acceptable? Of course, the answer is zero, right? And that we shouldn't expect anything less from our program. So that's why we're going with zero fatalities. Some might say that's an unrealistic goal, but what is a realistic goal if it's not zero? So we're doing a lot of community outreach. We're doing some commercials on the news, and you'll see those start coming out on what that means. So we're pretty proud of that program. We're also getting heavily involved in operating the system more effectively, more efficiently. We've been successful in Southern Nevada with our FAST system in cooperation with the RTC of Southern Nevada. We're looking at a statewide program called our Integrated Reliability Program, trying to do more of the 511 initiatives, the dynamic message signs that are out there, programs like a traffic incident management program working with emergency responders. We're looking at doing a regional operations center in Northern Nevada, similar to what we have as the FAST Center in Las Vegas area. So we're trying to look at what we can do to operate the system more effectively, more efficiently. We can't always build our way out of congestion, so we need to figure out how the pavement that we do have, we can operate more effectively. Like I said, I was going to keep it brief. I did want to touch a little bit on the legislature. It was a long session. I'm sure it was a long session for all of you. made it out pretty well. A couple things that we thought was very important, obviously, was the banning of handheld cell phones and texting while driving. Goes right to the heart of distracted driving and helping us with our strategic highway safety plan. Also, we're going to be using more recycled materials on our projects, and we're developing a policy for that to be environmentally friendly. And something else you might be interested in, our logo program that we have in the Clark and Washoe counties, we were allowed to expand that statewide, so you'll see more of those blue signs out there that really brings in some revenue and helps us with maintenance activities, too, along those routes. So with that, I think I'll just jump into some of the programs. Again, as Dennis mentioned, we'll be asking you to endorse the proposed fiscal year 2012 and to fiscal year 2021 work program. Some of the programs that that are going on right now that you do have projects within this area, the enhancement program, we're doing the North Route Street bike lanes and pathway improvements. And the construction of that should begin in 2012. We're also doing the landscaping of the Carson Freeway, and that should be design is almost complete, and we should have an advertisement out in August of this year to start construction at the beginning of next year. And then I thought I'd mention that under that enhancement program, the Nevada State Railroad Museum did have an application in that is going to be canceled because they did not move forward with that. So I believe we did get a letter on that, and we'll be responding to the letter from Patrick shortly. And Dennis can elaborate if anybody has any questions on that one. So the highlights of the 2011 program, just kind of touch base a little bit on that. The construction of the gateway signage is anticipated for construction this season. I don't know if it will be completed, but we'll be starting that here shortly. We've continued on with purchasing a right-of-way for the Carson City Freeway to complete that project activities that occurred in 2011. Like I mentioned, the landscaping project is ongoing, advertising and should be started this year and then working into next year. And then for 2012, what we'll be asking you for endorsement of, and I believe you have all this in your packet in front of you, the first project on that list, the Carson City Freeway, which I'm sure you have questions on. The description here is going to change, just to let you know. We're going to go out with a package 2B-2 that we're calling. We're going to be doing the grading and drainage and utility work down on the south end of the project and also doing the Snyder Bridge to continue that project, and we're hopefully advertising that in 2012. So we're trying to, you know, as the funding is available, we're trying to break that project up so we can continue the momentum to get that project finally completed. So hopefully that's good news for you that we're moving forward and continuing the construction on that. And then the next three projects really are about the Clear Creek watershed. We're going through the environmental analysis on several projects on the lower, upper, and the central portions of that watershed up US 50. And I do have a representative from my hydraulic section that could answer any detailed questions you have on that project. And then just a clarification on your list, I believe you have a US 50 and Mound House project on there for the $22 million. That is being moved out to 2014 off of that annual work program just due to funding issues we have statewide. And then, of course, we've got some district contracts doing some micro-surfacing near Snyder Avenue and the frontage roads in that area, all going out in 2012. So that is the annual work program, and I'd be looking for endorsement of that program from this board commission. Thank you. Good session for all of you. made it out pretty well. A couple things that we thought was very important, obviously, was the banning of handheld cell phones and texting while driving. Goes right to the heart of distracted driving and helping us with our strategic highway safety plan. Also, we're going to be using more recycled materials on our projects, and we're developing a policy for that to be environmentally friendly. And something else you might be interested in, our logo program that we have in the Clark and Washoe counties, we were allowed to expand that statewide, so you'll see more of those blue signs out there that really brings in some revenue and helps us with maintenance activities, too, along those routes. So with that, I think I'll just jump into some of the programs. Again, as Dennis mentioned, we'll be asking you to endorse the proposed fiscal year 2012 and to fiscal year 2021 work program. Some of the programs that that are going on right now that you do have projects within this area, the enhancement program, we're doing the North Route Street bike lanes and pathway improvements. And the construction of that should begin in 2012. We're also doing the landscaping of the Carson Freeway, and that should be design is almost complete, and we should have an advertisement out in August of this year to start construction at the beginning of next year. And then I thought I'd mention that under that enhancement program, the Nevada State Railroad Museum did have an application in that is going to be canceled because they did not move forward with that. So I believe we did get a letter on that, and we'll be responding to the letter from Patrick shortly. And Dennis can elaborate if anybody has any questions on that one. So the highlights of the 2011 program, just kind of touch base a little bit on that. The construction of the gateway signage is anticipated for construction this season. I don't know if it will be completed, but we'll be starting that here shortly. We've continued on with purchasing a right-of-way for the Carson City Freeway to complete that project activities that occurred in 2011. Like I mentioned, the landscaping project is ongoing, advertising and should be started this year and then working into next year. And then for 2012, what we'll be asking you for endorsement of, and I believe you have all this in your packet in front of you, the first project on that list, the Carson City Freeway, which I'm sure you have questions on. The description here is going to change, just to let you know. We're going to go out with a package 2B-2 that we're calling. We're going to be doing the grading and drainage and utility work down on the south end of the project and also doing the Snyder Bridge to continue that project, and we're hopefully advertising that in 2012. So we're trying to, you know, as the funding is available, we're trying to break that project up so we can continue the momentum to get that project finally completed. So hopefully that's good news for you that we're moving forward and continuing the construction on that. And then the next three projects really are about the Clear Creek watershed. We're going through the environmental analysis on several projects on the lower, upper, and the central portions of that watershed up US 50. And I do have a representative from my hydraulic section that could answer any detailed questions you have on that project. And then just a clarification on your list, I believe you have a US 50 and Mound House project on there for the $22 million. That is being moved out to 2014 off of that annual work program just due to funding issues we have statewide. And then, of course, we've got some district contracts doing some micro-surfacing near Snyder Avenue and the frontage roads in that area, all going out in 2012. So that is the annual work program, and I'd be looking for endorsement of that program from this board commission. Thank you.
Commissioner Aldean.
Thank you. Thank you, Scott, for your presentation. With respect to the freeway, obviously the timetable has changed because of lack of funding. This is a 2B2, as you defined it, right?
Correct.
How many additional packages are likely to be awarded before project completion? In other words, how many increments are we going to be looking at? I know it largely depends on funding, and it's hard to determine what that funding might consist of, but can you give us kind of an estimate of when we're likely to see the freeway extended to Highway 50 West?
Yeah. You bet.
Okay.
Yeah, what we're trying to do is just keep the momentum. You know, we got package 2B1 out there, which is doing the drainage and a couple grade separations out there. So knowing that we don't have all the money and the project's pretty much ready to go as far as design, we thought we'd take pieces of it and portion it out. Now, the next phase would more than likely be the roadway work up to the interchange and, you know, trying to find logical terminuses for, you know, actually allowing traffic on that piece. I mean, so we have things to think about in there, and then obviously that last piece would be the interchange itself, which is the bulk of the construction and the dollars. So, you know, I don't have an answer for you, unfortunately, because the funding picture on the national level is very fuzzy right now. I mean, there's been discussions of our program from federal money coming in being reduced by 33% potentially. And then, of course, you have the other end of the conversation, which wants to increase it by 20%. So, you know, there's a lot of unknowns from Congress on the federal funding level, and we know our state funding level, the way that's been going as far as the fuel taxes, have been pretty flat. You know, we haven't really seen an increase in the fuel taxes. So it really depends on funding, and I know we've said that before, and I know it's probably frustrating from your seat to hear that all the time, but we just don't have an answer, a clear picture on that funding.
Well, is it true that the transportation bill, Congress probably won't even take that up until September? That's the latest news from our lobbyists in Washington. Is that
they
consistent
have to
with your understanding?
Correct. They have to take up something by December or September because it runs out. And then more than likely they will do a two-year bill. If you could throw some odds at it, it's going to be a two-year bill to get past the election in 2012.
Right.
But the funding in the highway program for the next 2 years is solvent at the funding levels that we're currently getting, which is pretty good. So that would be actually a good thing for us because there's a lot of discussion that needs to take place on what the future funding levels are and the revenues that are out there, and also the program level. The programs right now, as you've heard many times, I'm sure, from Dennis, and Jim knows all about it, there's so many different categories. They need to consolidate that so that we have more flexibility working with you and other boards and commissions around the state to do what we need in this state, not what Congress thinks we need to do.
You know, I think from my perspective, Scott, all I'm looking for is a continued affirmation from NDOT that this project is important. It's one of its number one priorities. We understand there are tremendous pressures in Southern Nevada and Clark County and projects that also need to be funded and completed, but we just want some assurance that, you know, we're still in the top tier.
And hopefully with our focusing on keeping the project rolling, I mean, this project we're talking about is $13 to $16 million package that we'd be going out with. Hopefully that gives you the sense that we want to continue to roll on. We don't want to wait till we get all the money because then it could be longer. At least we're showing progress, sure, and we're showing the public that we're continuing after that effort.
Okay, and one other question I had with respect to the enhancement money that was not used by the Nevada State Museum or the Railroad Museum. What happens to those funds? Will they be reallocated? Dennis.
Mr. Chairman, Shelley, thank you. You know, we're kind of in a gray area here. I did get that letter from Patrick. The only reason I had not responded to that yet is because we are revising the enhancement process. in that what we are going to do in the future, and this has been to the four MPOs, and it's been to the STAC committee, and it's been out to the public for comment. In the future, you would get an allocation of funds. You'll know how much based on what our apportionment is, exactly how much you're going to get. And assuming that the CAMPO has a federally approved, state accepted process in place for selecting.
Thank you. Thank you, Scott, for your presentation. With respect to the freeway, obviously the timetable has changed because of lack of funding. This is a 2B2, as you defined it, right?
Correct.
How many additional packages are likely to be awarded before project completion? In other words, how many increments are we going to be looking at? I know it largely depends on funding, and it's hard to determine what that funding might consist of, but can you give us kind of an estimate of when we're likely to see the freeway extended to Highway 50 West?
Yeah, you bet.
Okay.
What we're trying to do is just keep the momentum. You know, we got package 2B1 out there, which is doing the drainage and a couple grade separations out there. So knowing that we don't have all the money and the project's pretty much ready to go as far as design, we thought we'd take pieces of it and portion it out. Now, the next phase would more than likely be the roadway work up to the interchange and, you know, trying to find logical terminuses for, you know, actually allowing traffic on that piece. I mean, so we have things to think about in there, and then obviously that last piece would be the interchange itself, which is the bulk of the construction and the dollars. So, you know, I don't have an answer for you, unfortunately, because the funding picture on the national level is very fuzzy right now. I mean, there's been discussions of our program from federal money coming in being reduced by 33% potentially. And then, of course, you have the other end of the conversation, which wants to increase it by 20%. So, you know, there's a lot of unknowns from Congress on the federal funding level, and we know our state funding level, the way that's been going as far as the fuel taxes, have been pretty flat. You know, we haven't really seen an increase in the fuel taxes. So it really depends on funding, and I know we've said that before, and I know it's probably frustrating from your seat to hear that all the time, but we just don't have an answer, a clear picture on that funding.
Well, is it true that the transportation bill, Congress probably won't even take that up until September? That's the latest news from our lobbyists in Washington. Is that
they have
consistent
to take,
with your understanding?
Correct. They have to take up something by December or September because it runs out. And then more than likely they will do a two-year bill. If you could throw some odds at it, it's going to be a two-year bill to get past the election in 2012. Right. But the funding in the highway program for the next 2 years is solvent at the funding levels that we're currently getting, which is pretty good. So that would be actually a good thing for us because there's a lot of discussion that needs to take place on what the future funding levels are and the revenues that are out there and also the program level. The programs right now, as you've heard many times, I'm sure, from Dennis, and Jim knows all about it, there's so many different categories. They need to consolidate that so that we have more flexibility working with you and other boards and commissions around the state to do what we need in this state, not what Congress thinks we need to do.
You know, I think from my perspective, Scott, all I'm looking for is a continued affirmation from NDOT that this project is important. It's one of its number one priorities. We understand there are tremendous pressures in Southern Nevada and Clark County and projects that also need to be funded and completed, but we just want some assurance that, you know, we're still in the top tier.
And hopefully with our focusing on keeping the project rolling, I mean, this project we're talking about is $13 to $16 million package that we'd be going out with. Hopefully that gives you the sense that we want to continue to roll on. We don't want to wait till we get all the money because then it could be longer. At least we're showing progress and we're showing the public that we're continuing after that effort.
Okay. And one other question I had with respect to the enhancement money that was not used by the Nevada State Museum or the Railroad Museum. What happens to those funds? Will they be reallocated? Dennis.
Mr. Chairman, Shelley, thank you. You know, we're kind of in a gray area here. I did get that letter from Patrick. The only reason I had not responded to that yet is because we are revising the enhancement process. in that what we are going to do in the future, and this has been to the four MPOs, and it's been to the STAC committee, and it's been out to the public for comment. In the future, you would get an allocation of funds. You'll know how much based on what our apportionment is, exactly how much you're going to get. And assuming that the CAMPO has a federally approved, state-accepted process in place for selecting enhancement projects, then you'll be able to select those projects and just submit them based on the funding that you have. But together with that is that if you don't do or act or spend or at least demonstrate that you are trying to move that project forward within a year's time, in previous years, that would just keep carrying over and carrying over and carrying over. And when I took this job in this division, one of the problems that I had is a lot of the projects in the enhancement program were 10 and 12 years old, and that was tying up money, and I did not like that. So what we want to attempt to do is if something is not demonstrated satisfactorily within a year, it will then go back into the pot, and you will then at least be able to assign another project with not just transfer the money, but actually do a valid process again and then try to fund another project. And that's where it's kind of a gray area. Right now, we are not allowing, and the current process says that I can't switch money from one project to the other unless, and the unless being, and this is kind of a gray area, so we need further discussion. If the enhancement money had come directly to CAMPO, and I realize it's the only enhancement project you have in Carson City, but it had come directly to CAMPO, and you wanted to move it from a CAMPO project to a CAMPO project, then that's probably acceptable. But I'd still confer with our federal partners to make sure that there's not a gray or a very dark area there. The problem is it went to the Railroad Museum, and now you want to move it to a CAMPO project. And I know that the Railroad Museum, Peter Barton, said they're fine with that, but I think if we allow that, I think that we're going to be violating our process. So I had that discussion with Patrick this evening. We are working through the details, I think we'll come to a logical and good solution for everybody.
Dennis, if I could suggest something, maybe when you're thinking about, you know, developing a new process, we could submit, based on the amount of money available to our particular area, we could submit a list of multi-tiered projects. In other words, the first projects, there might be four projects in the upper tier. If one of those projects fails to meet its deadlines, then we have alternate projects that we have already identified as being worthy of receiving funding. That way we can just move one of those lower tier projects into the upper tier, and I would think that it would be, from an administrative standpoint, a lot easier.
Mr. Chairman, Shirley, I couldn't agree with you more, and you've heard me make this comment before. Worse than having projects and no money is having money and no projects. So absolutely, by all means, build in a contingency list of projects. As a matter of fact, we at NDOT do that as well in development of our STIP, because, as you know, we are required to spend all of our federal dollars every year, and we need to be prepared should something slip for it unforeseen. I mean, we can't predict everything. 150-year-old water line, kind of hard to predict. It's not on anybody's books. But if that project slips, then we have another one to take its place. So absolutely, that is a good idea, and I would encourage that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Rollins, I'm a bit disappointed about hearing about extending the Highway 50 Mound House improvements out farther, but, you know, I understand. But as that area, as we all know, is dangerous. Much like Pleasant Valley was years ago, and I think that, and I may be wrong, but I was just driving through there the other day and thought about the bump strips that are down through the center of the lanes that they weren't there before. And I'm wondering if that has improved safety through that section, and if so, would that be reasonable to push that kind of an effort up there to Mound House to at least get some attention there before 2014.
Mr. Chairman, through you to Commissioner. Yeah, absolutely. We can look at that. I know we have a very aggressive rumble strip program, both on the edge line and in the median across the state. And I don't know if they've looked at that area and looked at the adequacy.
Enhancement projects, then you'll be able to select those projects and just submit them based on the funding that you have. But together with that is that if you don't do or act or spend or at least demonstrate that you are trying to move that project forward within a year's time, in previous years, that would just keep carrying over and carrying over and carrying over. And when I took this job in this division, one of the problems that I had is a lot of the projects in the enhancement program were 10 and 12 years old, and that was tying up money, and I did not like that. So what we want to attempt to do is if something is not demonstrated satisfactorily within a year, it will then go back into the pot, and you will then at least be able to assign another project with not just transfer the money, but actually do a valid process again and then try to fund another project. And that's where it's kind of a gray area. Right now, we are not allowing, and the current process says that I can't switch money from one project to the other unless, and the unless being, and this is kind of a gray area, so we need further discussion. If the enhancement money had come directly to Campo, and I realize it's the only enhancement project you have in Carson City, but it had come directly to Campo, and you wanted to move it from a Campo project to a Campo project, then that's probably acceptable. What I'd still confer with my our federal partners to make sure that there's not a gray or a very dark area there. The problem is it went to the Railroad Museum, and now you want to move it to a Campo project. And I know that the Railroad Museum, Peter Barton, said they're fine with that, but I think if we allow that, I think that we're going to be violating our process. So I had that discussion with Patrick this evening. We are working through the details, I think we'll come to a logical and good solution for everybody.
Dennis, if I could suggest something, maybe when you're thinking about, you know, developing a new process, we could submit, based on the amount of money available to our particular area, we could submit a list of multi-tiered projects. In other words, the first projects, there might be four projects in the upper tier. If one of those projects fails to meet its deadlines, then we have alternate projects that we have already identified as being worthy of receiving funding. That way we can just move one of those lower tier projects into the upper tier, and I would think that it would be, from an administrative standpoint, a lot easier.
Mr. Chairman, Shirley, I couldn't agree with you more, and you've heard me make this comment before. Worse than having projects and no money is having money and no projects. So absolutely, by all means, build in a contingency list of projects. As a matter of fact, we at NDOT do that as well in development of our STIP, because, as you know, we are required to spend all of our federal dollars every year, and we need to be prepared should something slip for it unforeseen. I mean, we can't predict everything. 150-year-old water line, kind of hard to predict. It's not on anybody's books. But if that project slips, then we have another one to take its place. So, absolutely, that is a good idea, and I would encourage that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Rollins, I'm a bit disappointed about hearing about extending the Highway 50 Mound House improvements out farther, but, you know, I understand. But as that area, as we all know, is dangerous. Much like Pleasant Valley was years ago. And I think that, and I may be wrong, but I was just driving through there the other day and thought about the bump strips that are down through the center of the lanes that they weren't there before. And I'm wondering if that has improved safety through that section, and if so, would that be reasonable to
push that kind of an effort up there to Mound House to at least get some attention there before 2014.
Mr. Chairman, through you to Commissioner. Yeah, absolutely. We can look at that. I know we have a very aggressive rumble strip program, both on the edge line and in the median across the state. And I don't know if they've looked at that area and looked at the adequacy or the suitability of doing that or not. But certainly can look at that. And it's an easy fix, and actually we've had tremendous success across the state with that program and preventing runoff the roads, which is one of the highest accident rates we have in this state is runoff the road accidents in the rural areas.
I happen to know that it's in this summer's work program to include rumble strips along the center of Highway 50 in Mound House.
For the record, Thor Dyson, we have had several meetings out there with Lyon County and the business owners and NHP, and rumble strips should be forthcoming within the next 1 to 2 months. We're doing it through a district contract. It's a short-term measure because there is a design project coming up to address some of the bigger issues, but short-term, rumble strips are on its way, Commissioner Carpenter.
Commissioner Desjardins.
Thank you. Scott, we realize in today's financial world, all you had to do was listen to Channel 236 this morning, and while the senators were talking about what to do, you know, with the debt limit and so on. So I realize you're having to play in the monetary game in a big unknown world. With that said, appreciate what you said about 2B2, and I definitely support having different small projects in line and keep them going. Do you have any idea or any planning at this point what 2B3 might look like?
Not sure they put it in my briefing package here, but what I understand, and I think I mentioned to Commissioner Aldean, is that the actual mainline segment would come next, you know, basically from where we ended right now at Fairview and then going around. But then at some point there's got to be a logical terminus for where that goes because we – you know, to combine that package with the actual interchange, which is the high dollar package, we wouldn't be able to do that, not looking at the funding future that we have in the next several years. But I could see that rolling around in the next 2 to 4 years, get myself a little cushion there, with, you know, depending on how the next reauthorization package, the six-year deal comes out, if we have a two-year extension and we figure out Congress can figure out how to pay for another six-year bill. Maybe there's opportunities in that package to actually get that interchange completed after that. You know, it's going to take, for this next package, 2B2, sounds like a Star Wars package, it's going to take, you know, a good year probably of construction effort to get that completed, and you don't want contractors over the top of each other. So even if we had the money, we'd like to space it out and package it up after that.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Dennis, did you have?
I do, Mr. Chairman and Commissioner DeGeorge. What you'll see, and we just didn't have time to do it this time, part of our county tours, and of course every year we update our STIP, that's our four-year program. We are doing that currently for the 2012 through 2015 program. And what you will see as part of that document is a more accurate description. Right now it's contained in the STIP as read in your annual work program here. In order to change that in the STIP, I have to do formal action called an amendment, as you know, which can take quite some time by the time public comment. It goes before the board and the RTC. So we just didn't have time to change that, but we will be bringing the STIP, or the STIP should be out, or will be out, not should. It will be out for public comment period late August, first part of September. For a 30-day public comment period, this board will get a copy of that.
and you'll see the descriptions accordingly, and that those various phases should then in fact be placed in years. And of course, that's the nice thing about our process for modifications and amendments. Commissioner Carpenter, you mentioned Highway 50, you know, we move it out to 14, but hey, if all of a sudden we get a influx big enough to do the project, we have a process whereby we can move it back into an earlier year. So
the suitability of doing that or not, but certainly can look at that. And it's an easy fix, and actually we've had tremendous success across the state with that program and preventing runoff the roads, which is one of the highest accident rates we have in this state is runoff the road accidents in the rural areas.
I happen to know that it's in this summer's work program to include rumble strips along the center of Highway 50 in Mound House.
For the record, Thor Dyson, we have had several meetings out there with Lyon County and the business owners and NHP, and rumble strips should be forthcoming within the next 1 to 2 months. We're doing it through a district contract. It's a short-term measure because there is a design project coming up to address some of the bigger issues. But short-term, rumble strips are on its way, Commissioner Carpenter.
Commissioner Desjardins.
Thank you. Scott, we realize in today's financial world, all you had to do was listen to Channel 236 this morning, and while the senators were talking about what to do, you know, with the debt limit and so on. So I realize you're having to play in the monetary game in a big unknown world. With that said, appreciate what you said about 2B2, and I definitely support having different small projects in line and keep them going. Do you have any idea or any planning at this point what 2B3 might look like?
Not sure they put it in my briefing package here, but what I understand, and I think I mentioned to Commissioner Aldean, is that the actual mainline segment would come next, you know, basically from where we ended right now at Fairview and then going around. But then at some point there's got to be a logical terminus for where that goes, because we – you know, to combine that package with the actual interchange, which is the high dollar package, we wouldn't be able to do that, not looking at the funding future that we have in the next several years. But I could see that rolling around in the next 2 to 4 years, get myself a little cushion there, with, you know, depending on how the next reauthorization package, the six-year deal, comes out. If we have a two-year extension and we figure out Congress can figure out how to pay for another six-year bill, maybe there's opportunities in that package to actually get that interchange completed after that. You know, it's going to take, for this next package, 2B2, sounds like a Star Wars package, it's going to take, you know, a good year probably of construction effort to get that completed, and you don't want contractors over the top of each other. So even if we had the money, we'd like to space it out and package it up after that.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Dennis, did you have?
I do, Mr. Chairman and Commissioner DeGeorge. What you'll see, and we just didn't have time to do it this time, part of our county tours, and of course every year we update our STIP, that's our four-year program. We are doing that currently for the 2012 through 2015 program. And what you will see as part of that document is a more accurate description. Right now it's contained in the STIP as read in your annual work program here. In order to change that in the STIP, I have to do formal action called an amendment, as you know, which can take quite some time by the time public comment. It goes before the board and the RTC. So we just didn't have time to change that. But
we will be bringing the STIP, or the STIP should be out, or will be out, not should. It will be out for public comment period late August, first part of September, for a 30-day public comment period. This board will get a copy of that, and you'll see the descriptions accordingly, and that those various phases should then, in fact, be placed in years. And, of course, that's the nice thing about our process for modifications and amendments. Commissioner Carpenter, you mentioned Highway 50. You know, we move it out to 14, but, hey, if all of a sudden we get a influx big enough to do the project, we have a process whereby we can move it back into an earlier year. So there is some flexibility there.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Scott, I want to just convey our appreciation as a board to Susan last year coming here. And during the discussion last year, she agreed to, and we appreciate that she followed up on several things. One was a willingness to talk to some Clear Creek homeowners about damage from erosion off of Highway 50 that we have met with several times, taking a couple field trips up there on the old Clear Creek Road. Not that there's a new one, but the old one. I think even Dennis had some fingerprints on that letter, so I think it kind of came through your department. We appreciate that follow-up. And also, 2 days after, one of the comments was the difficulty of bicycle people getting from approximately Jacks Valley going north on 395 to about where Highway 50 intersects with 395, just south of here. When the construction was being done there, we went out, we did talk with your RE, we took a little field trip out there. 2 days after our county consultation meeting with Susan, that whole area was changed, was wider, and was fixed. So we certainly appreciate that she listened, and we certainly appreciate your department was responsive on that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor.
Scott, I'd like to echo what folks have said here regarding NDOT's continued attempt to finish phase 2B of the freeway. I understand, you know, that kind of piecemeal by piecemeal. And I'm sure you're aware, we have the longer the construction goes on, the more we have difficulty with the more the inconveniences people are around there on construction. But that said, can you tell us where that project stands in the hierarchy of new funding coming in? I mean, is it in competition with a higher priority project, or is it near the top or the bottom, or can you give us a sense of where we are in that if money does come in from the gentleman in the back there?
Yeah, I'm waiting for them to come up and tell us where that money is.
He can come up and we'll have a long talk, but that's okay.
I won't put him on the hot seat. It's in the top tier is the best way I could explain that. You know, I mean, we have tremendous needs across the state, and I know you've heard this from Susan before, you know, and we've got tremendous needs in southern Nevada, and we've got other needs in rural Nevada, and, of course, in northern Nevada, Carson, Reno, Sparks areas. We've been doing a lot of work up here. If you can appreciate the 580 extension, the 80 design build we're starting to do, the 395, the Carson Freeway segments we have built. So rest assured that it's in that top tier that is when we consider our major projects, and we've been working very hard to develop a five-year program to be more, open and transparent and consistent with how we deliver projects. And so we're going to start doing financial plans for a five-year program and identifying the development needs for those projects. And when Dennis says we're going to come out with a STIP that's going to show the next 4 years, we're going beyond that. And the Carson Freeway will be part of that. You know, so when we consider major projects, Carson Freeway is to finish that project is part of that tier of major projects.
If Dennis needs a green pen, I have one.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Are there any other questions for Mr. Rollins? Okay, well, thank you very much for your time, and we appreciate it. And
thank you.
Look forward to seeing these projects come forward.
And we would ask that you would endorse
yes.
the
And with that, I will entertain a motion to endorse the CAMPO portion of the Nevada Department of Transportation draft fiscal year 2012-2021 work program. Public comment, excuse me. Are there any comments from the public on Mr. Rollins' presentation? Does the Federal Highway Administration have any comments that they wish to make? Okay, thank you. Well, having no comment, I'll entertain a motion.
Some flexibility there.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Scott, I want to just convey our appreciation as a board to Susan last year coming here. And during the discussion last year, she agreed to, and we appreciate that she followed up on several things. One was a willingness to talk to some Clear Creek homeowners about damage from erosion off of Highway 50 that we have met with several times, taking a couple field trips up there on the old Clear Creek Road. Not that there's a new one, but the old one. I think even Dennis had some fingerprints on that letter, so I think it kind of came through your department. We appreciate that follow-up. And also, 2 days after, one of the comments was the difficulty of bicycle people getting from approximately Jacks Valley going north on 395 to about where Highway 50 intersects with 395, just south of here. When the construction was being done there, we went out, we did talk with your RE, we took a little field trip out there. 2 days after our county consultation meeting with Susan, that whole area was changed, was wider, it was fixed. So we certainly appreciate that she listened, and we certainly appreciate your department was responsive on that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor.
Scott, I'd like to echo what folks have said here regarding NDOT's continued attempt to finish phase 2B of the freeway. I understand, you know, that kind of piecemeal by piecemeal. I'm sure you're aware, we have the longer the construction goes on, the more we have difficulty with the more the inconveniences people are around there on construction. But that said, can you tell us where that project stands in the hierarchy of new funding coming in? I mean, is it in competition with a higher priority project, or is it near the top or the bottom, or can you give us a sense of where we are in that if money does come in from the gentleman in the back there?
Yeah, I'm waiting for them to come up and tell us where that money is.
He can come up and we'll have a long talk, but that's okay.
I won't put him on the hot seat. It's in the top tier is the best way I could explain that. You know, I mean, we have tremendous needs across the state, and I know you've heard this from Susan before, you know, and we've got tremendous needs in southern Nevada, and we've got other needs in rural Nevada, and, of course, in northern Nevada, Carson, Reno, Sparks areas. We've been doing a lot of work up here. If you can appreciate the 580 extension, the 80 design build we're starting to do, the 395, the Carson Freeway segments we have built. So rest assured that it's in that top tier that is when we consider our major projects, and we've been working very hard to develop a five-year program to be more, open and transparent and consistent with how we deliver projects. And so we're going to start doing financial plans for a five-year program and identifying the development needs for those projects. And when Dennis says we're going to come out with a STIP that's going to show the next 4 years, we're going beyond that. And the Carson Freeway will be part of that. You know, so when we consider major projects, Carson Freeway is to finish that project is part of that tier of major projects.
If Dennis needs a green pen, I have one.
Are there any other questions for Mr. Rollins? Okay, well, thank you very much for your time, and we appreciate it. And
thank you.
Look forward to seeing these projects come forward.
And we would ask that you would endorse.
Yes.
plan.
And with that, I will entertain a motion to endorse the CAMPO portion of the Nevada Department of Transportation draft fiscal year 2012-2021 work program.
Did you want to take public comment?
Public comment, excuse me. Are there any comments from the public on Mr. Rollins' presentation? Does the Federal Highway Administration have any comments that they wish to make? Okay, thank you. Well, having no comment, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move to endorse the CAMPO portion of the NDOT draft fiscal year 2012-2021 work program document.
We have a second.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further comment? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous. You have your endorsement.
Before our federal friends leave, welcome to Carson City.
Yeah, if our federal friends could wait, I'd like to just chat with you for a minute, being a retired federal employee. You probably don't even know me. That shows you how long I've been away. But anyway, if you could just wait a few minutes until we're through. Thank you.
Okay. Item G, internal communications and administrative matters. Dan, do we have any?
Future agenda items, we've got a couple of pending transit agreements with NDOT. Hopefully they'll all be ready by the next meeting. We'd kind of like to, you know, present them all at once. Also, we're looking at updating our transportation improvement program for fiscal year 2012 to 2015. And we'll be probably bringing a draft tip table at that time.
Okay, thank you. Anybody have anything that they want to include? Okay. And our final public comment. Any member of the public wish to address the board? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion for adjournment.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
RTC will convene in 5 minutes.
Oh, yes, the RTC will convene in 5 minutes.
No. Thanks.
I met your son.
Oh, Buzz?
Yeah.
So is he going to do some work up there?
I don't know. Talking about the sit down next to me.
I'll rag on him, tell him I'm going to cut it out of the will.
That was true.
I hope, man. I'll be an older brother. I'll be something. Where are we going? We got to move down then? Are we going to sit here? Or what are we going to do?
I'm staying here.
Why don't you stay here? We can.
Mr. Chair, I move to endorse the CAMPO portion of the NDOT draft fiscal year 2012-2021 work program document.
We have a second.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further comment? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous. You have your endorsement.
For our federal friends. Before our federal friends leave, welcome to Carson City.
Yeah, if our federal friends could wait, I'd like to just chat with you for a minute, being a retired federal employee. You guys probably, you probably don't even know me. That shows you how long I've been away. But anyway, if you could just wait a few minutes until we're through. Thank you.
Okay. Item G, internal communications and administrative matters. Dan, do we have any?
For future agenda items, we've got a couple of pending transit agreements with NDOT. Hopefully they'll all be ready by the next meeting. We'd kind of like to, you know, present them all at once. Also, we're looking at updating our transportation improvement program for fiscal year 2012 to 2015, and we'll be probably bringing a draft tip table at that time.
Okay, thank you. Does anybody have anything that they want to include? Okay. And our final public comment. Any member of the public wish to address the board? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion for adjournment.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
RTC will convene in 5 minutes.
Oh, yes, the RTC will convene in 5 minutes.
No. Thanks.
I met your son.
Oh, Buzz?
Yeah.
So is he going to do some work up there? Thanks. hope, man.
He'll be an older brother.
I'll be something. Where are we going? We got to move down then? Are we going to sit here or what are we going to do?
I'm staying here.
Why don't you stay here?
We're comfortable because we're going to work through this agenda.
We are.
Commissioner Desjardins. Retired federal employee Desjardins.
All the good things. did some research, and I think Mr. Randy, as well as Larry, this could be deemed a public nuisance, and there is a provision in our code that enables the Sheriff's Department to address what is considered a historic nuisance. And having helicopters, well, I prefer the lighthouse, so I'm further north. So
do they just come in and land, or what do they do?
They hover. They're using their night goggles, and they're, and they ask them to hover over Centennial Park. I mean, where there are fewer people. I'll protest for so long. I'll
talk to Steve a little bit about the name. That's a bad idea.
He's trying to get it.
Commissioner Desjardins. Retired federal employee Desjardins.
Good evening, everyone. Let's call this meeting of the Carson City Regional Transportation Commission to order. The date is Wednesday, July 13th, 2011. We're here in the Sierra Room at the Community Center. Kathy, we call a roll to determine a quorum.
Chairperson Aldean.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Mallory.
Here.
Commissioner Carpenter.
Here.
Commissioner Kroll.
Here.
Commissioner Desjardins.
Here.
Quorum is present.
Thank you. Moving on to item number B, public comment. Members of the public who wish to address the Regional Transportation Commission may approach the podium and speak on matters related to the Regional Transportation Commission. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per person. If your item requires extended discussion, please request the chair to calendar the matter for a future RTC meeting. Okay, yes. Good evening.
Good afternoon. My name is Susan Hoffman, and I'm the owner of Dog-Eared Books, a used paperback bookstore located at 361 Fairview Drive. I'm here to express my frustration with the realignment of Fairview Drive. Since the freeway opened to Fairview, our business has been dramatically and destructively impacted. I'm sure you're aware that when traveling west on Fairview, you cannot make a left turn at any point in the block between Roop and South Carson Street, not on Idaho Street, not on California Street, and not into the parking lot where Dog-Eared Books is located. If you're lucky enough to get into the parking lot, getting out safely is another extreme challenge. There's a large green utility box near the exit that blocks the road and requires you to poke out into the street. And with cars barreling down on you at 35 to 40 miles an hour, it can be very harrowing. 3 years ago when I bought Dog-Eared Books, which was a established business in Carson City, it's been around for about 15 years now, I was so excited about the freeway exit and about Fairview bringing all those readers past our store. Little did I know that with 24,000 cars a day passing by, there would be no plan for them to access the businesses in the building where we operate. Just last month, our neighbor, Bones and Scones, closed their doors for lack of business. In this economy where everyone is struggling, this disaster of a road design is just one more challenge for us. Our sales are down nearly 30% from 2 years ago. The last thing our community needs is another failed business and an empty storefront. Honestly, I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what can be done to remedy the situation, and especially after listening to the last meeting, I'm even more discouraged. But maybe we could put in some turn lanes and continue to pressure them to finish the freeway so that Fairview won't be so busy. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Ms. Hoffman. I appreciate your input. And obviously, we've had this discussion before. I don't know if we could have – obviously, there needs to be adequate separation between turn lanes. I mean, I think we opened one of the solid lines at one time, and maybe we can take a look at that again, Darren, and
we will take a look at
evaluate
it
and see what we can do to make it more user-friendly. Appreciate you coming.
Thank you. And I spoke to Patrick, is that his first name, Pittenger, yesterday, and he told me I should come here and
okay.
talk
All
to
All right.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Any other members of the public wish to speak? Seeing none, I'll close public comment. We'll move on to the next item, which is approval of the minutes. Has everyone had a chance to review the minutes from the meeting of June 8th, 2011, and are there any suggested changes? Seeing none, will somebody care to make a motion to approve?
Madam Chair, I move to approve the minutes as presented.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Thank you. Moving on to item D, agenda management. Items on the agenda may be taken out of order. RTC may combine two or more agenda items for consideration, and RTC may remove any item from the agenda or delay discussion relating to an item on the agenda at any time. Is staff recommending any changes to the agenda?
No changes.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to disclosures, does any member of the commission wish to disclose any contact with a member of the public regarding any item on today's agenda? All right, seeing none, we'll move on to the consent agenda. We have two items, items F1 and F2. Would somebody care to make a motion to approve? First of all, let me take public comment for anyone who's had a chance to review these consent agenda items. Does any member of the public wish to comment on these two items? All right, seeing none, would somebody care to make a motion to approve?
Madam Chair, I move to approve items F1 and F2. For approval as presented.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Any comments on the question? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Item G, public meeting items. Item. Good evening, everyone. Let's call this meeting of the Carson City Regional Transportation Commission to order. The date is Wednesday, July 13th, 2011. We're here in the Sierra Room at the Community Center. Kathy, we'd call a roll to determine a quorum.
Chairperson Aldean.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Mallory.
Here.
Commissioner Carpenter.
Here.
Commissioner Kroll.
Here.
Commissioner Desjardins.
Here.
Quorum is present.
Thank you. Moving on to item number B, public comment. Members of the public who wish to address the Regional Transportation Commission may approach the podium and speak on matters related to the Regional Transportation Commission. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per person. If your item requires extended discussion, please request the chair to calendar the matter for a future RTC meeting. Okay, yes. Good evening.
Good afternoon. My name is Susan Hoffman, and I'm the owner of Dog-Eared Books, a used paperback bookstore located at 361 Fairview Drive. I'm here to express my frustration with the realignment of Fairview Drive. Since the freeway opened to Fairview, our business has been dramatically and destructively impacted. I'm sure you're aware that when traveling west on Fairview, you cannot make a left turn at any point in the block between Roop and South Carson Street, not on Idaho Street, not on California Street, and not into the parking lot where Dog-Eared Books is located. If you're lucky enough to get into the parking lot, getting out safely is another extreme challenge. There's a large green utility box near the exit that blocks the road and requires you to poke out into the street. And with cars barreling down on you at 35 to 40 miles an hour, it can be very harrowing. 3 years ago when I bought Dog-Eared Books, which was a established business in Carson City, it's been around for about 15 years now, I was so excited about the freeway exit and about Fairview bringing all those readers past our store. Little did I know that with 24,000 cars a day passing by, there would be no plan for them to access the businesses in the building where we operate. Just last month, our neighbor, Bones and Scones, closed their doors for lack of business. In this economy where everyone is struggling, this disaster of a road design is just one more challenge for us. Our sales are down nearly 30% from 2 years ago. The last thing our community needs is another failed business and an empty storefront. Honestly, I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what can be done to remedy this situation. And especially after listening to the last meeting, I'm even more discouraged. But maybe we could put in some turn lanes and continue to pressure them to finish the freeway so that Fairview won't be so busy. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Ms. Hoffman. I appreciate your input. And obviously, we've had this discussion before. I don't know if we could have, obviously, there needs to be adequate separation between turn lanes. I mean, I think we opened one of the solid lines at one time, and maybe we can take a look at that again, Darren, and
we will take a look at
evaluate it and see what we can do to make it more user-friendly. Appreciate you coming.
Thank you. And I spoke to Patrick, is that his first name, Pittenger, yesterday, and he told me I should come here and talk to you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Any other members of the public wish to speak? Seeing none, I'll close public comment. We'll move on to the next item, which is approval of the minutes. Has everyone had a chance to review the minutes from the meeting of June 8th, 2011? And are there any suggested changes? Seeing none, will somebody care to make a motion to approve?
Madam Chair, I move to approve the minutes as presented.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Thank you. Moving on to item D, agenda management. Items on the agenda may be taken out of order. RTC may combine two or more agenda items for consideration, and RTC may remove any item from the agenda or delay discussion relating to an item on the agenda at any time. Is staff recommending any changes to the agenda?
No changes.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to disclosures, does any member of the commission wish to disclose any contact with a member of the public regarding any item on today's agenda? All right, seeing none, we'll move on to the consent agenda. We have two items, items F1 and F2. Would somebody care to make a motion to approve? First of all, let me take public comment for anyone who's had a chance to review these consent agenda items. Does any member of the public wish to comment on these two items? All right, seeing none, would somebody care to make a motion to approve?
Madam Chair, I move to approve items F1 and F2 for approval as presented.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Any comments on the question? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Item G, public meeting items. Item G1, which is our only public meeting item of the evening, regarding the expanding of a scope of one of our contracts. And I see that Tom Grundy is not. Oh, yes, there you are. Tom, would you care to come forward? I understand this is your item.
Tom Grundy, Carson City Public Works. Shortly after the bid opening for this project, we found out from NDOT we were getting some additional funds, which was a good thing. The contingency initially was just a couple percent of the base bid, which was pretty low. And with this additional funding, we'll be able to increase the contingency of the project to 10%, which is typical for projects like this. And we've also, working with GROW, and city staff, we've also added some additive alternates to the contract, which is the north and southbound train cutouts at Highway 50, applied for the Eagle at North Carson Interchange, two more deer cutouts at the North Carson Interchange, and talus slopes and boulders at the North Carson Interchange and at Highway 50 to kind of tie our project in with the projects to the north and to the south.
Okay. Tom, it appears, I went back and took a look at the action that we took on June 8th. Under Schedule C, there are some major items, some minor items, all additive alternates. And if you add those together and add them to Schedules A and B, we're still under budget. So are we not adopting all of those additive alternates, or are we just doing it selectively?
We're just doing it selectively, okay. Adding additive alternates, BP 116, 117, 118, 124, 125, 126, 127, and 137 and 138. And then BP 139, the one-year maintenance period, was we had that included before already. We had the money. That's a requirement that we need to do the one-year maintenance.
That's the $35,000, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. The only thing that I noticed is that if you add up, typically our project budgets, as I recall, include contract amounts plus contingencies. When I add up both contingencies, if you add the augmentation, which includes the contingency, to the original contract amount plus the $46,524.30, which was the original contingency amount, I would think the total project budget would be $3,082,249.30, which is the total of all those figures. I noticed that our project budget is a little less than that, and I was wondering what that discrepancy might be. We don't have to worry about it now. If you just take a look at the numbers,
I want
to make sure that everything is consistent.
Okay.
All right. Well, it's nice that we can expand the project and do a bang-up job of landscaping our freeway. Any questions from members of the commission? Any questions from members of the audience? Ken? Sabrina? All right. Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the commission. Close public comment. Would somebody care to make a motion?
Are you looking at me?
Anyone.
I'll move.
I will. Okay.
Madam Chair, I move to accept the Public Works recommendation to approve Amendment Number 1 to Contract Number 1011-205 with RAPID Construction, Inc., titled Carson City Freeway Landscaping Project, to expand the scope of work and increase the contract in an amount not to exceed $351,794.30 from the RTC/grant Freeway Landscaping Project Fund account as provided for in fiscal year 2011-2012.
Thank you. Is there a second? Any comment on the question? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Okay. Thank you, Tom, very much. Let's move on to the next item, which is internal communications, H1, street operations report. This is informational only. Does anyone have any questions regarding the information report? I had a quick question. Andy, maybe, I don't know, Andy, Darren. Obviously, our streets department is very busy, and they oftentimes provide assistance to other departments. I'm assuming that's accounted for through the notorious allocation of internal service charges.
Actually, we have a cost accounting program that we track all costs, and we charge other departments for those, those works when they have budgets. Sometimes we don't collect it, but most of the time we do.
Okay.
Depends on where we are in the budget year.
So we just
usually towards the end of the year, people start running out of budget, but they still got to get something done. So.
One, which is our only public meeting item of the evening regarding the expanding of a scope of one of our contracts. And I see that Tom Grundy is not. Oh, yes, there you are. Tom, would you care to come forward? I understand this is your item.
Tom Grundy, Carson City Public Works. Shortly after the bid opening for this project, we found out from NDOT we were getting some additional funds, which was a good thing. The contingency initially was just a couple percent of the base bid, which was pretty low. And with this additional funding, we'll be able to increase the contingency of the project to 10%, which is typical for projects like this. And we've also, working with GROW and city staff, we've also added some additive alternates to the contract, which is the north and southbound train cutouts at Highway 50, applied for the Eagle at North Carson Interchange, two more deer cutouts at the North Carson Interchange, and talus slopes and boulders at the North Carson Interchange and at Highway 50 to kind of tie our project in with the projects to the north and to the south.
Tom, it appears, I went back and took a look at the action that we took on June 8th. Under Schedule C, there are some major items, some minor items, all additive alternates. And if you add those together and add them to Schedules A and B, we're still under budget. So are we not adopting all of those additive alternates, or are we just doing it selectively?
We're just doing it selectively, okay. Adding additive alternates, BP 116, 117, 118, 124, 125, 126, 127, and 137 and 138. And then BP 139, the one-year maintenance period, was we had that included before already. We had the money. That's a requirement that we need to do the one-year maintenance.
That's the $35,000, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. The only thing that I noticed is that if you add up, typically our project budgets, as I recall, include contract amounts plus contingencies. When I add up both contingencies, if you add the augmentation, which includes the contingency, to the original contract amount plus the $46,524.30, which was the original contingency amount, I would think the total project budget would be $3,082,249.30, which is the total of all those figures. I noticed that our project budget is a little less than that, and I was wondering what that discrepancy might be. We don't have to worry about it now. If you just take a look at the numbers,
I'll take a look
Tom,
at
and make
it.
Sure that everything is consistent. Okay. All right. Well, it's nice that we can expand the project and do a bang-up job of landscaping our freeway. Any questions from members of the commission? Any questions from members of the audience? Ken? Sabrina? All right. Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the commission. Close public comment. Would somebody care to make a motion?
Are you looking at me?
Anyone.
I'll move.
I will. Okay.
Madam Chair, I move to accept the Public Works recommendation to approve Amendment Number 1 to Contract Number 1011-205 with RAPID Construction, Inc., titled Carson City Freeway Landscaping Project, to expand the scope of work and increase the contract in an amount not to exceed $351,794.30 from the RTC/grant Freeway Landscaping Project Fund account as provided for in fiscal year 2011-2012.
Thank you. Is there a second? Any comment on the question? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Okay. Thank you, Tom, very much. Let's move on to the next item, which is internal communications, H1, street operations report. This is informational only. Does anyone have any questions regarding the information report? I had a quick question. Andy, maybe, I don't know, Andy Duren. Obviously, our streets department is very busy, and they oftentimes provide assistance to other departments. I'm assuming that's accounted for through the notorious allocation of internal service charges.
Actually, we have a cost accounting program that we track all costs, and we charge other departments for those, those works when they have budget. Sometimes we don't collect it, but most of the time we do.
Okay.
Depends on where we are in the budget year.
So we just
usually towards the end of the year, people start running out of budget, but they still got to get something done. So
we just carry that as an accounts receivable, right?
Yes.
For the streets department, okay. All right. Any other questions regarding this item? If not, we'll move on to item H2, project status report. Darren, I wanted to make one comment in view of the action that we just took. Do we want to amend the total estimated cost for the...
We discussed it before the meeting. We wanted the action, and then we will amend it, yes.
That would be great. That would be on the freeway landscaping project. And then, let's see.
It's pretty thin.
Yeah, it is pretty thin. Well, that's what happens when you have no money. I'm assuming that the micro-paving and the slurry sealing is not going to impact any of the streets that are being impacted by any of our ongoing infrastructure projects in Southeast Carson, right? So we won't be accused of improving a street and then going in and destroying it?
No.
Okay.
In fact, there's some streets to the that were originally programmed to the east of our project that we left out in order not to have the conflicts with the contractors in the same area. So we'll have to pick those up in a subsequent year. But just because you don't want contractors on top of each other and potential claims, we dropped a few streets out that normally would have been done in this cycle.
You know, one thing, and Andy, you and I have talked about this at some point, I really think that even though there may not be any funding to address the needs on Gonai Road, it is really showing, I mean, it's deteriorating quickly.
Interestingly, I drove Gonai today. And,
did you?
And oh, I was driving a number of roads. I unfortunately had about an hour free in the middle of the afternoon, and that my staff hates it when I have that because I drive around and I have a whole notepad of stuff, projects I came back with. But Gonai was one of the ones I'm going, you know, we've got to address it at some point. And as we know, the southbound lane as they're exiting is the one that's wearing out a lot more than the lane going north. So, we've had the discussions several times as do you build half a road or what in the future? But that's one of the roads that we're going to be addressing. We have the pavement management evaluation that's been done. We're finalizing some software issues that we're dealing with now, but we will be making a presentation probably in September, October about all the roads and the condition index of every street and every segment of every street within the community and the liability that's hanging out there.
And that may result in some changes in priorities based on that reevaluation.
It certainly may.
I'd just like to see Gonai Road in the queue at least, even though there's no funding to address the problem immediately.
At least
we'll have it on the radar screen. Okay. Thank you. Any member of the public wish to comment on this item? All right, seeing none, we'll move on to future agenda items. Darren, Dan?
We don't have a lot right now, so there's possibility that we could be back before you to talk about that excess grant money that we skimmed off. But we want to see how much we have left on that other project and maybe put them together and then bid out an alternative project. But I don't know if that'll be ready next month or not. But other than that, we don't have anything else for sure in the queue.
My interpretation of what Dennis Taylor told us was that's kind of inconsistent with the current policy, isn't it? Once the money is forfeited, it's forfeited. Did I misunderstand him? That's why I mentioned that maybe we should have a group of alternate projects in the future that could replace ones that fall out of the queue. So anyway, that's something that we'll need to clarify, obviously. Okay. Any report on the Gateway signage project?
No, nothing new. It's held up over at it's currently in NDOT's hands under review, and we kind of expect it back any day, and we're still anticipating going out to bid. It was slated for July, so we're still hoping to make that happen.
Okay, because I'd still like to have the unveiling, you know, in decent weather. I'd hate to have people out there in the middle of December or January, in the middle of a snowstorm, trying to admire our new signage. Okay, all right. Yes, go ahead, Jim.
Madam Chair, thank you. Darren, when you go look at Fairview vis-a-vis what Susan Hoffman shared with us prior to the start of this meeting, can you come back next month at the RTC meeting and just give a very quick synopsis of what you feel you see in terms of access, egress, et cetera, issues getting in and out of Fairview?
Will do.
To the bookstore, and whether or not you can get to the bookstore off of Roop or one of the other streets, kind of through the back side of that little shopping mall.
Will do.
Thank you.
And whether maybe carry that as an accounts receivable, right?
Yes.
For the streets department, okay. All right. Any other questions regarding this item? If not, we'll move on to item H2, project status report. Darren, I wanted to make one comment in view of the action that we just took. The total, do we want to amend the total estimated cost for the...
We discussed it before the meeting. We wanted the action, and then we will amend it, yes.
That would be great. That would be on the freeway landscaping project. And then, let's see.
It's pretty thin.
Yeah, it is pretty thin. Well, that's what happens when you have no money. I'm assuming that the micro-paving and the slurry ceiling is not going to impact any of the streets that are being impacted by any of our ongoing infrastructure projects in Southeast Carson, right? So we won't be accused of improving a street and then going in and destroying it?
No.
Okay.
In fact, there's some streets to the that were originally programmed to the east of our project that we left out in order not to have the conflicts with the contractors in the same area. But so we'll have to pick those up in a subsequent year. But because you don't want contractors on top of each other and potential claims, we dropped a few streets out that normally would have been done in this cycle.
You know, one thing, and Andy, you and I have talked about this at some point, I really think that even though there may not be any funding to address the needs on Gonai Road, it is really showing, I mean, it's deteriorating quickly.
Interestingly, I drove Gonai today. And,
did you?
And I was driving a number of roads. I had about an hour free in the middle of the afternoon, and that my staff hates it when I have that because I drive around and I have a whole notepad of stuff, projects I came back with. But Gonai was one of the ones I'm going, you know, we've got to address it at some point. And as we know, the southbound lane as they're exiting is the one that's wearing out a lot more than the lane going north. So, we've had the discussions several times as do you build half a road or what in the future? But that's one of the roads that we're going to be addressing. We have the pavement management evaluation that's been done. We're finalizing some software issues that we're dealing with now, but we will be making a presentation probably in September, October about all the roads and the condition index of every street and every segment of every street within the community and the liability that's hanging out there.
And that may result in some changes in priorities based on that reevaluation.
It certainly may.
I just like to see Gonai Road in the queue at least, even though there's no funding to address the problem immediately.
At least
we'll have it on the radar screen. Okay. Thank you. Any member of the public wish to comment on this item? All right, seeing none, we'll move on to future agenda items. Darren, Dan?
We don't have a lot right now, so there's possibility that we could be back before you to talk about that excess grant money that we skimmed off. But we want to see how much we have left on that other project and maybe put them together and then bid out an alternative project. But I don't know if that'll be ready next month or not. But other than that, we don't have anything else for sure in the queue.
My interpretation of what Dennis Taylor told us was that's kind of inconsistent with the current policy, isn't it? Once the money is forfeited, it's forfeited. Did I misunderstand him? That's why I mentioned that maybe we should have a group of alternate projects in the future that could replace ones that fall out of the queue. So anyway, that's something that we'll need to clarify, obviously. Okay. Any report on the Gateway signage project?
No, nothing new. It's held up over at it's currently in NDOT's hands under review, and we kind of expect it back any day, and we're still anticipating going out to bid. It was slated for July, so we're still hoping to make that happen.
Okay, because I'd still like to have the unveiling, you know, in decent weather. I'd hate to have people out there in the middle of December or January, in the middle of a snowstorm, trying to admire our new signage. Okay, all right. Yes, go ahead, Jim.
Madam Chair, thank you. Darren, when you go look at Fairview vis-a-vis what Susan Hoffman shared with us prior to the start of this meeting, can you come back next month at the RTC meeting and just give a very quick synopsis of what you feel you see in terms of access, egress, et cetera, issues getting in and out of Fairview?
Will do.
To the bookstore, and whether or not you can get to the bookstore off of Roop or one of the other streets, kind of through the backside of that little shopping mall.
Will do.
Thank you.
And whether maybe the lack of access can be addressed with better signage, advising people of alternate routes to travel to access certain key businesses. Okay. Go ahead, Jim.
It's just a little hard for me to think that if you're traveling east on Fairview, you can't turn into that shopping center and access your store. That's all I'm asking is we take a peek at that.
Well, my understanding was this: when you're traveling west, there's a solid line, and you can't turn against a solid line. But we have opened up that solid line.
You can actually turn across that solid line. It's legal to do that.
Well, you know, I think most people are adverse to doing that because they have been taught not to pass over a solid line.
So then how?
I know you do, and we're going to get you.
Then how does this impact the 30% reduction in sales, et cetera, that we heard, if you can get in and out of that shopping center?
I think that's exactly what Shelley indicated, was people they're adverse to going across that line because they think it's illegal. And we've had the conversation with the sheriff's office related to that for some businesses further down the street. So there are issues. Then we probably should address them kind of globally for the whole street.
Well,
right,
if there's
now
adequate separation between the streets, you know, if there isn't adequate separation, I understand you're concerned about stacking. But if there is adequate separation, then maybe all we have to do is to blacken out some of those solid lines.
We'll look at it. Okay. We're very familiar with the area because it's highly accident, lots of people going through there. But we'll come back with a report.
That would be great. Thank you very much. Any other item that the commission would like addressed at the next meeting? Okay, seeing none, we are at the end of our agenda, except we have one more public comment period, so I will open this up to public comment. Would any member of the public wish to comment on anything related to the RTC? Obviously not. Okay, we'll close public comment, move to the last item on the agenda, which is adjournment. Someone?
So moved.
All right, then we have multiple seconds. Thank you, everyone.
Good job.
Oh, thank you.